Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's have a mass debate. It's episode 8. Welcome to Richie Firth Travel Hacker. I'm Richie Firth and I hack travel.
I explicitly warned you about that at the end of last week's episode.
They have been words that have echoed around my head for exactly 7 days. And I've stored them and I've executed. First, we hacktivate. Then we vaccinate. And then I execute.
Then you...
I would ask how you are, but as we do these hacks still in this lockdown environment, and I look at you on the screen in front of me as we do this video call, you look like a mad professor.
Rich, I don't know what has happened. Like 12 months ago, I was a reasonably smart dressed, short hair, very, very, closely cropped hair, vaguely normal looking guy. And I, by my own admission, I look like a bass player in Wolf Mother.
We're both falling apart. I'm
You look well, Rich.
Lockdown's
treated you well.
I feel it's a haircut. It's what a haircut can do to you. Natalie shaved my head at the weekend. Grade one, probably to about 2/3 of my head. It's been my 5th COVID cut of the last 12 months. But... people do say it takes years off me, so I'll go with that.
Do you want to cut my hair?
I'd love to. I'd absolutely love to.
We should do a travel hacking challenge when we can see each other again. That involves if you're successful in your hack, I will just let you go with the scissors.
That would be great. Maybe we need to find out where the hometown of. Nicky Clark, is he still a thing? He certainly was like 20 years ago, celebrity haircutting.
I believe Nicky Clark is still on the scene.
If you're thinking UK haircutters, I mean, Vidal Sassoon, we'd have to be going crossing the Atlantic, and we need a few more patrons for that to be the thing. So I think a Nicky Clark related hack would be the way forward.
All you've done is basically say the travel hack is based around visiting a hairdresser.
No. Look, I know we've got some patrons to thank, and hopefully we've got some hacks to hack. But I'm now going to just find out, before we go further, where Nicky Clark, the hairdresser, is. Well, his hair salon still exists in London, but it looks like he might be from Birmingham.
Rich, like, even by our own standards, this is low-grade stuff.
Where does Nicky Clark live? Nicky Clark lives in St John's Wood. He earned £12,000 once for 3 blow dries. There's money in hairdressing. Can you go from London to Birmingham for the price that Nicky Clark charges for a blow dry? There's the hat, Chris. We're away.
All right, rival idea. how far can you travel using the power just of a hairdryer?
Oh, yeah, because the EU tried to downgrade hairdryers, didn't they? So now they're not very powerful. Maybe we'll end up sitting at Cannock Services with Susie Dent charging her electric car once again.
Did you just take a massive bite of food midway through the show? Why did you do that?
I thought you'd edit that out.
Oh.
I've got a tub of Marmite hummus in the fridge.
I can't believe you just did that.
Sorry.
Can you imagine in Prime Minister's Questions? Actually, no, I could imagine it in Prime Minister's Questions, to be honest.
Right, anyway, coming up in this episode of Richie Firth Travel Hacker. Moose flaps. We are the experts. Pardon me. Before we crack on, we should say hello to our new patrons this evening. Mike, Luke, Joe and Sean. Money is hard to come by right now, so thank you for parting with some of yours to fund future hacks as we return the world to the world of travel soon with hacks that are actually out of our houses. If you want to become a patron, patreon.com/travelhacker is where you need to go. Buy or subscribe to one of our attractive packages where you'll get bespoke merchandise and hacks.
What on earth are you talking about? Bespoke
there is no merchandise, is there? I think it would be wrong of me to promise things to the patrons that they're not going to get.
Yes.
Unless we could do some travel hacker hummus. What do you reckon?
Oh, my God. you know what? Genuinely, Rich, if there is someone out there who works for Hummus Incorporated and is looking to promote their new hummus brand...
You can't incorporate chickpeas, okay? You can't do that. But if someone's listening at Johnson & Johnson or Unilever or some other really big food brand, then get in touch. We'd love to lend
Tony's Chocolonely.
That'll do too. Monty Bojangles, you know, those sweets that you order from Amazon. Them too. Any of them, we're happy. Anyway... Do become a patron. You won't get merchandise or hummus at this stage, but you will get bonus content. If this is the stuff that people don't pay for, fuck knows what you get if you pay for it.
Well, that is a sell.
Christopher, let's get on with the latest episode. What is our first hack?
Well, this one is in brief form from T. Roach. On Insta, but I've got more I'll come to.
He sounds like an 80s pop star.
T. Roach. Did he make you feel good?
He's a cuddly toy.
Is that the song, isn't it?
Don't it make you feel good? No, that was Stefan Dennis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Anyway, on with that first hack.
So Roachford on Insta, very brief. Toronto, Ontario, Canada to Moosonee, Ontario, Canada. So I've got more if you want, Rich, or do you want to crack straight?
Well, that was brief, but he doesn't give us any reason why, but he does give us the start and end, which is enough for a hack.
Well, I do have some more if you want it, but you can just crack on if you like. I mean, I don't mind.
Well, no, we'll crack on. I don't think anyone needs to explain what Toronto is. Big place, Ontario, Canada, big city. Moosonee, I have had to look into a little bit. It's inaccessible by road. The nearest road outside of Moosonee ends at Otter Rapids, which is 92 miles away.
Wow.
But Moosonee is known as the gateway to the Arctic, and that's why it's a thing. The road up to Otter Rabbits.
What?
Otter Rabbits. Rabbit Rabbits. Oh, Chris. Oh, I feel emotional.
God, we haven't even started.
It's a long drive. But the road is only there for electric transmission lines to get to Moosonee. Why is Moosonee so important? It's because it is the main port to get things to the Arctic.
What things? And why do they need to go to the Arctic?
Well, people live there, all right? You know, there's like people investigating climate change and people have got to feed polar bears and stuff. So there are Arctic colonies where people live, and Moosonee is your jumping off point. So that's why you've got it's the end of, I think it's the end of sort of like a really long railroad that transports like trucks of food out to the Arctic, and that's why it's a thing. But the really easy answer to this vaguest of hacks is there's a 15-hour flight with one connection from Toronto. So that's how I'd do it. There's no road into Moosonee, but Moosonee has its own airport but has no road. Isn't that a bit of an oxymoron?
So basically, so Moosonee is, you're saying, not connected by road.
Correct.
There's some train journey that doesn't take people.
No, yeah, it just takes like cargo.
So if you can't
Arctic,
so if you can't be an Arctic cargo, then the only option is to fly. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. No road in. The train is for the Arctic people.
So do you want now? You've basically said fly there. Mm-hmm. Do you want to actually hear the rest of T. Roach's message?
So there is actually more.
Well, I did tell you that at least twice before you carried on. You seemed quite cocksure.
I was preoccupied with the hummus. Right, Carry on. Go on then.
So I messaged him back and he sent us a full email. Dear Richie and Chris.
Right. Well, I haven't had this.
A very bleak start, but it don't worry about the first five words.
Right.
I am tired of city life, and I want to escape to the most remote place I can think of. Moosonee, and I do hope we're pronouncing that right, has held a great deal of interest in my life. It is the railhead of the Ontario Northland Railway and has the same latitude as London, 51 degrees north. Good right. fact. Once in Moosonee, I will take the Rail Car Museum, the Northern Lights, beluga whale watching, go hiking and fishing. I mean, this sounds amazing. The highway doesn't reach the community. There are direct flights. And Rich, this is first problem. But I'm afraid of flying.
Oh, shite. Right, okay, fair enough.
Rail may be the only way. I've worked out my route. Because I've been thinking about this journey for a long time.
What's he even getting in touch for then?
I don't know, maybe he's just showing off that he knows how to do it.
Okay.
There is a train that leaves the town of Cochrane, and it's called the Polar Bear Express.
To do this,
I would have to make my way from Toronto to Cochrane, 808 kilometres via train, bus or car. Then take the train from Cochrane to Moosonee, an additional 300 kilometres or 8 hours on the train. So somehow that cargo train, according to Terry Roach, yours sincerely Terry Roach, is an option. And so one, congratulations, excellent hack, Terry. Well done. That's Terry 1, Richie 0. And it does look like there's a lot of really beautiful stuff to do. So as I mentioned, I went on the Moosonee website.
Right.
It's got a little bit about the various councillors and their accounts that they filed.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a bit of information about the Cree Cultural Interpretive Centre, the Sagashtowau. I'm going to have another go at that. The Sagashtowau.
I think I like the Sega Healing one Lodge. Rather than the Gash one.
So something like that. And the Moose Flats, which I don't know what they
Moose
are.
Moose Flats?
Flats, Richie.
Sorry, okay.
So it looks great.
I bet you don't put moose flaps in the beginning of the episode.
I mean, I think this episode is going to be 50% coming up in tonight's show.
Moose flaps.
And thank you for giving me another take on it.
Oh, dear. Well, I mean, was that a hack or was that whack? Because I don't think that I can have that held against me when the guy is basically just... I could basically have got in touch with my own podcast and said, hi, I'm driving to Cambridge later and it's going to take me about 45 minutes. How would you do it? I mean, you know, that's not a hack.
Terry has hacked his own hack.
Yeah.
And well done, so, Terry.
This is a dangerous future of the podcast. If people are just getting in touch with their own hacks, they don't need us anymore.
Do you think they've given up on us?
No, there are people paying for it. Patreon.com/travelhacker. That's where you need to go if you want the bespoke stuff. Travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. That's where you can email us, like Papa Roach did. But we want you to do that as well. If there is a journey that you want us to hack, because that's how this work, we are the experts. Pardon me.
Oh, my God.
If you've got a problem with that, write to Unilever. They've made that too repeating. If you want us to hack your journey, travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. We're looking for new hacks until we're able to get out and actually go and hack things for you out on location. Yours, please. Or you can tweet us at Producer Chris or at Richie Firth.
Is that the outro to the show or the into the ads?
That was the into the ads. Hear about the Vicar of Dibley now.
Oh my God, Rich. So many people now know so much about the Vicar of Dibley.
On the Vicar of Dibley, which we were just speaking about before that advert for the Vicar of Dibley, we should just pay homage on the podcast to Trevor Peacock, who played Jim Trott in the series, who was died recently at the age of 89, which is very sad.
He was good. Could you do an impression of him, Rich, for our international listeners?
No. Yes.
Good. Solid.
Thank you. Someone said that they heard a advert for the Vicar of Dibley 8 times back to back.
Yep. Someone said that they heard adverts to visit Nova Scotia and they live in Nova Scotia.
Oh, I'm just delighted to hear that people are getting adverts.
Yep.
Right. After a bizarre first third of the episode, let's move on to our second hack.
Now, this one genuinely is a short one, and I don't have a follow-up to it, okay?
Okay.
So what you hear is what you get this time.
Fair enough.
This is from Sam, who follows you on Instagram.
Sam.
It goes, what is the cheapest way to fly business class to the USA without paying, and I quote, shitloads?
it's an upfront question, and we like that, Sam. Thank you very much. I guess you have to define shitloads.
Yeah, I mean, I guess business class is shitloads. So I guess anything less than what you'd expect to pay for business class is less and less. Question for you here, Rich.
Yeah.
That kind of language, that, you know, to use that term amongst strangers, oozes Australian to me. So I don't know if you're assuming this would be London to the US or Sydney or Melbourne to the US. I don't know if you've interrogated that far.
I've assumed London. It's the cocksureness of a city banker.
Right.
But it's a city banker who has had a tough time over the last year, which is why...
Sorry,
he
just
wants...
you have to bear with me. There is you can probably hear the large freight train that has just run past my...
I love listening to the episodes, because I listen back to our own episodes. I love hearing freight trains past your house. Sometimes, also, I can hear the whine of a London Overground going by as well.
Yeah.
Because obviously that will be an electric one.
Mm.
I love it.
Well, look, Rich, you are more than welcome when we are back here
to do
a second hack that passes my house on the London Overground.
And some good news for our Patreons. You very soon will be able to hear an episode where all it is actually just sound effects of trains passing Chris's house. You won't have to listen to us. It's like a red button service. Do you remember Sky, when they used to do football, you could press red button and just follow one person? It'll be like that, but for this.
Sure. I mean, look, if that's what the patrons want, that's what they'll get.
Anyway, Sam, I think... City banker, down on his luck, wants to fly business class, hasn't got the money to.
Right.
But, and that's why he's using language like shitloads.
Good profiling. I like it.
Thank you very much. So, I've looked into this. Skyscanner, who are probably one of the most sort of go-to websites for plane tickets. If you're not paying standard class, cattle class, however you want to define it, offer three different types of upgrades. So you've got premium economy, you've got business class, and you've got first class. So I thought it'd be a good experiment to have a look at London to New York. All right, let's go this, you know, the cheapest hop to the US. Then Sam can go wherever he wants after that. We'll go London to New York. And I thought it'd be good, quite interesting to have a look at the three different cheapest options for those, whether it's premium economy.
Done. Had that hummus fermented?
I think it might have done. Because it's got yeast in it, because it's Marmite. It's Marmite hummus. It's cheese.
Oh, gosh. Rich is tripping balls right now.
Premium economy.
One more.
No, premium economy. Business. You say it.
Premium economy.
No, you pause. You took a run up there. All right, that's not fair.
Take a run up on a show that involves people talking?
I went at it like Jonathan Edwards trying to do the triple jump, all right? You paused, all right? You're not making it into the sandpit if you're Jonathan Edwards. That's not fair. Premium economy, I've done it. Business class and first class. Let's look at those three vectae. So what I've done is to take the furthest date in the calendar, which is February next year, all right? So the further ahead you book something, the cheaper it's going to be. If you travelled London to New York, February next year, £616 via premium economy, travelling non-direct. That is the cheapest way to fly a slightly premium tariff to New York.
How is that non-direct? Do you stop at Iceland or somewhere?
No, this one was actually via Paris. So you had to fly from London to Paris and then Paris to New York.
What a waste of time, but carry on.
If you then go business class, suddenly you're bumping it. £1,000 was your cheapest business class ticket, and that was Air Portugal via Lisbon.
Although, I would say, I don't know if you've done business class before, Rich.
Never.
I've done it once before in my life, and the best thing I found about it was not the flight. It was all the free shit that you got in the lounge. So if you're doing a journey that has a transfer, you double the amount of lounges you get to hang out in. So all of those little lovely, I remember that's little mini muffins. I ate loads of those little mini blueberry and chocolate chip muffins. Free beer, free gin and tonics. So if you get to do that in both London and then at, was it Lisbon Airport?
Lisbon, yeah.
I actually, now we're talking.
I think that is a really, really, really good shout. I have been in one of those lounges once. I wasn't actually flying business class, but I was allowed to use the lounges beforehand. And yeah, they're fantastic. So why would you not want to maximise your time in those?
Sounds like that was a shady commercial radio deal by the...
I think it might have been the very same one, actually. Yes. And then we look at first class. And if you're actually travelling first class, the cheapest was £4,880 for a first class ticket from London to New York. And that was via Paris. So you had to fly to Paris first. It's absurd.
Yes.
I don't feel that we've answered Sam's question. I think the cheapest way to do this is, and you've already joked, it is to fly to Reykjavik.
And do two separate tickets, do it that way.
Split the journey, all right? Don't even do it as a direct ticket, okay? Fly to Reykjavik, have a nice night in an Icelandic spa with the geezers and the saunas, sat there naked with your Nordic people, and then fly from Reykjavik to New York. And if you actually have a look on a map, of the world, Iceland's kind of halfway between the two. It's not direct.
It depends on which way you open the globe up, though.
You can fuck right off, okay? Sunny. Okay, I'm through that now. I've got it, okay? It is halfway. Iceland's your halfway point, but you've got to go a little bit north. So without giving you figures, Sam, cheapest way, go to Reykjavik. Night in a sauna, then on to New York.
That is shambolic. I mean, there's no data. You might as well have just said to him, go to Moosonee Airport. They've probably got business class. Who knows? I went on womanandhome.com, because you do, and right. Found a 2018 article, how to blag a free upgrade to business class on your next flight.
Now, that's interesting.
So here are their 6 tips in which Sam, our angry, out-of-luck businessman from London...
Oh, my goodness. I've made an assumption.
What?
Sam could be a Samantha.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it was because of the shitloads. Ladies don't generally say shitloads.
Really? You haven't met my wife, then? So do you want some tips, you and Samantha?
Yeah. Woman at home. Yeah, for Samantha or Samuel.
Samson.
Or Samson.
Number one, befriend the check-in staff.
Right.
When you're checking in, be nice to the staff. It's not rocket science, but it puts the odds in your favour. Now, I tried this before, and I did get, not upgraded, but I did get a complimentary glass of champagne on a flight.
Right, okay.
That's, you know...
It's a start.
It's 5-10 quid's worth of free, isn't it? Number two, check if the flight is full. If economy is jam-packed, you have a better chance of being bumped to business class. So basically, if it's very, very busy, it actually means that they might be only full in one part of the plane.
Oh.
Three, travel solo. Because there's more likely to be the opportunity to put one person, not two or more. Four, and this is just a totally pointless thing, join a frequent flyers club. Five, and I really like this one because I think you'd want to go really out, you know, properly all the way. Dress to impress. Imagine you and me turn up at Bournemouth Airport. We're going to Manchester.
Yeah.
And was it Southampton Airport?
Southampton Airport.
We're going to Manchester. We want an upgrade.
Yeah.
And we're both in tuxedos.
I don't think, considering that Flybe went bust, they're in any position to offer us upgrades on their twin propeller planes.
Right, Air Portugal. You and me want to go to New York via Air Portugal.
Lisbon, yeah.
Then we both turn up in tuxedos.
I like the idea of us turning up in tuxedos, but we'd have to be about 5 people apart in the queue because, of course, the ruse is that we're flying separately.
Oh, yeah. I do not know that other man in a tuxedo.
He must be going to the same same barbershop quartet.
We should both
convention.
Have monocles on.
Yeah.
Number six, and finally, negotiate if you're not happy. What this basically is if things aren't going well for you, throw a strop, see what happens.
Wow. Great. I must subscribe to Woman and Home. What is it called? Woman and Home magazine?
Woman and Home, yes.
Right, I'm going to get an active subscription and maybe they can come on board as a sponsor or affiliate for this podcast. Sam, hopefully that's an answer to your question. £616 via Paris or Woman and Home magazine and tight yourself up. Christopher, here's an ad break.
Enjoy that ad break?
Loved it.
What did you do?
During that ad break, I looked to see if I had any more sourdough bread. I've eaten it all, so the hummus is now sat on the floor, warming up.
Oh, who doesn't love warm Marmite-flavoured hummus? Give me the lowest octave you can sing in.
Oh.
Now give me the highest octave you can sing in. Now... do your best. No rehearsal. Just go straight in. Try to do both the highest and the lowest at the same time.
The same time?
Yeah.
Ah!
That would do.
It's been a romp of an episode so far tonight. Let's have one final hack.
Rich, this is going to be an interesting one for you to deal with. Hello. It's me, your wife, Natalie.
Right.
I happen to think that the lyrics to I'm Gonna Be by The Proclaimers are some of the most romantic lyrics of any song. But if Richie was to walk 500 miles from our home and then walk 500 more, where would he end up and what route would he take? What romantic places would there be along the way that I would like and that he could take me to? Thanks, Natalie.
Wow.
Ah, hello, Natalie.
I mean, she's upstairs right now, and words will be said in around about 15 minutes' time.
Really?
Yeah. This is interesting. First of all, I have to analyse on a selfish point whether she's saying there's not enough romance in the relationship. Is she saying that she wants me to go and walk 500 miles? Is she coming with me? Or is she merely thinking, we're not having a foreign holiday this year. Where are we going in the UK?
My gut tells me that she's a fan of the show, mm-hmm. and has heard all this fantasising that we've done and has just bought into the concept and has been, I want a piece of this. I want Richie to hack something for me.
Well, let's go with that. Let's go with that.
Okay.
And hope that's the case. So, let's talk first of all about the Proclaimers. They would walk 500 miles and then they'd walk 500 more just to be the man who would walk 500 miles to be right at your door. Or those were the lyrics. So, we're talking about 1,000 miles, basically.
About, yes.
Well, 500 add 500 is 1,000 miles.
It's about 1,000.
So, that's where we have a problem, because to walk 1,000 miles in the UK is impossible, because the longest journey that anyone can travel is Land's End to John O'Groats, and that is an 812-mile walk. So then we go back to what was she getting on at, and if she's just wanting me to walk off a cliff into the sea, that's a very different thing.
Well, what do you
That's
think?
Where you chip in and say, no, I'm sure that's not the case.
Well, look, as someone who's been married for 12 years, I really, I wouldn't know where to go with that.
So I think the calculations that I'm going to take here are, I'm going to take it literally, and we're going to walk 500 miles from my home and see where is the furthest I could possibly go that would be romantic.
That's nice. I like that.
Okay. So I thought, first of all, let's go to Land's End, all right? From, I live in Ware. It's where the ill-fated first season of this podcast was...
Started and finished.
we never left. We never left. That's when you infected my weeping eczema with Rubicon because you're a cock. Do you remember that?
Rich, your random bursts of aggression towards me are getting more and more frequent every episode.
You scroll back to that episode.
Scroll back to what you just said.
You were laughing as I, as a bottle of Rubicon combusted over me in a bus stop into weeping eczema, and it's barely recovered since.
I mean, it was
funny. It got infected. I had to have antihistamines.
Antihistamines.
Antibiotics.
Look, Rich, I feel for you. I'd never, ever want you to suffer.
Thank you very much.
If you shake fizzy drinks on your own hands, then I cannot be held accountable for that.
So, look, where? It's in Hertfordshire. It's just near Hertford. Look it up. That's where I live, all right? Don't look it up too much because it's still when you're outside the house. But where to Land's End? That's only a 306-mile walk.
Oh.
And she wants me to walk 500 miles. So then I have changed the vector. And we're going to go north.
Vectai.
We're going to head up with a Vectai. And we're going to go north. And so I thought, okay, let's see how far it is to walk north. 512 miles is too far. 512 miles would get me to Inverness. Okay? So we have to dial it back a little bit. So I looked on the map and thought, all right, let's go back. Let's find the next big place that is south of Inverness. And we're looking at Aviemore. We could go skiing,
oh,
all right?
Nice.
That's romantic, isn't it? You know, going up the slopes in the ski lifts, going back down. 480 miles. We're pulling up short, okay? If I'm 20 miles short, that's not a romantic declaration, is it?
Well, I mean, I'm taking you on a skiing holiday is... all right. I mean, you could do 20 miles of skiing when you got there.
Cross-country skiing isn't romantic.
Okay.
So then we're having to go north again. And I looked, all right, let's have a look at this. Peterhead. It's a little bit south of Inverness, but it's 505 miles. It's still too far south. I have found a settlement that is exactly 500 miles walk north of my hometown of Ware.
I'm both excited and slightly in fear about what you're going to say.
It's a little place called Moy.
Oh, okay. M-O-Y.
Well, what have you found?
No, I just thought you were going to say it's called cock vagina or something.
No. It's a tiny little place called Moy. Christopher, a lot of people since the last episode have been getting in touch with us saying that they look up where we are as they go along. So I'm sure a lot of people right now are actually looking up Moy.
Moy, Scotland. Village in Scotland.
That's it, a village in Scotland. It's a tiny little village.
Oh.
It's not got much going for it.
Oh, but it's got what you need, though.
It's got everything you need. Exactly. It's got a little romantic hotel just outside.
Luxury Highland home.
That's it. You got it, Chris.
On the banks of the Loch Moy.
Exactly, Chris.
Richie.
That's a romantic destination, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Look
and
at
then,
you pulling it out of the bag on one of your worst hacking evenings of all time.
And then once we're there, sat in this romantic hotel on the banks of Loch Moy, I can tell her about the only thing to have happened ever in Moy, which was back in 1746 on the 16th of February and the Rout of Moy.
Oh.
Shall I tell you about the Rout of Moy?
Yeah, I think we've got this far. You might as well.
Charles Edward Stuart, you may have heard of him, spent the night at Moy Hall, now a romantic hotel, to prevent the troops from Inverness descending on the estate in surprise during the night. Lady Anne Farquharson McIntosh sent Donald Fraser the blacksmith and four other retainers to watch the road from Inverness. Sure enough, during the night, several hundred Hanoverian troops were detected marching down the road. The McIntosh defenders started beating their swords on rocks, jumping from place to place, and shouting war cries of different clans in the Chatham Confederation. Thinking that they'd been ambushed, the British troops retreating, leaving Inverness open for the Prince to capture the next day, an event known as the Rout of Moy took place. There was only one casualty, the piper for the Hanoverian troops, possibly a Macrimmon of the famous Macrimmon piping family, was stabbed and killed.
Well, I never. I mean, that is not at all romantic, but...
But Chris, we'll have walked 500 miles to have got there.
Yep.
We'll have walked
Natalie,
up the East Coast.
Natalie, the love of my life. I can see you're so exhausted, but whilst we sit down to dinner in this luxury Highland home, let me tell you about a piper who got stabbed. Rich, can I hit you with a non-proclaimers-based alternative?
I think at this stage, considering the climax of this romantic walk is that the poor fella who got stabbed with his bagpipes. Yes, give me an alternative.
So, what is the song 500 Miles but poetry?
Correct.
Poetry should therefore allow, I think, in such a hack, for poetic license.
Correct.
You should not have to take it literally. You shouldn't have to walk the whole 500 miles, but travel it.
Okay.
And the 500 more. That is, as you say, about 1,000 miles.
Thank you.
So I looked at destinations that were roughly 1,000 miles from where, and I found three A's that were quite interesting.
Oh, okay, all right.
Andorra, Austria.
Lovely. Nice.
And the Åland Islands. Have you heard of the Åland Islands?
I'm imagining they're spelt with a double A.
No, A with a funny accent-y thing on it. That I'm not quite aware of Scandinavian languages to know what it is.
This says to me that the Åland Islands are Scandinavish.
So, almost Scandinavish. They are fascinating, Rich. Okay.
Where we go.
They're owned by...
Everyone's heard of Andorra. Everyone's heard of Austria. Let's take Natalie to the Åland Islands.
Let me tell you about them.
Please.
They are part of Finland, technically, but right. are an autonomous region of mostly Swedish-speaking people.
Beautiful.
They were right in the heart. They're in the Baltic Sea, right basically in where 19th century Europeans and probably the few hundred years before that loved to scrap. They've been demilitarized since 1850. It's neutral territory. You know, people speak the language they shouldn't, technically. It is left to its own devices. And it is stunning, beautiful lakes, small gaps from one island to one island, and some beautiful, romantic, luxury restaurants and hotels.
Oh, wow. That's the place.
Hasviden Resort
yes.
was the one that stood out for me. And maybe you could send them a copy of this show, skip past the Piper getting stabbed, and maybe they will give you a discount.
I am going to find that hotel after this episode finishes. I'm going to tweet them. I'm going to tell them about the thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads that we get to this podcast every week. Mm-hmm. To the Patriots, who, you know, are super loyal. They'd love to go to the Åland Islands. And I will promise them the earth. I won't tell them about the Rubicon Corporation and our run-ins with them. That sounds amazing, Chris. What a find.
It was my pleasure. Look, see it as, like I said, I'm your wingman. This is my gift to you.
Wow. Thank you so much. What a great episode this has been.
Can I ask you one favour in return?
Yes.
Let's do Gretchen's letter.
I think we've run on somewhat, haven't we?
We could just read a line of it.
I don't see that we have time, but I will make a cast iron guarantee that we will read it next episode.
Cast iron guarantee.
Cast iron guarantee.
That's good enough for me.
How do you rate this episode?
Rich, as far as the hacks go, it's a steaming turd.
But that's on them. That's what they've given us for this week.
I mean, for a start, you could have let me read Terry Roach's full message before you put him in a plane, before he nearly B.A. Baracus'd his way for a flight.
The irony about Andrew Roachford's message is that if I'd let you read the full thing out, we would have realised he was actually just telling us a journey he was going to take. There wasn't a hack for me to hack.
You could have listened and learned. Then there is Samantha or Samson, who just doesn't want to pay shitloads for a flight.
Hey, but they're having a lovely time in Lisbon Airport's frequent flyers lounge.
And then, you know what, your journey that you took Natalie on, I was creditable.
We're going to put a poll up on our Twitter feeds to ask which of the two hotels you'd rather stay in. The romantic one with the stabbed Scottish Piper or the one in the autonomous region in the middle of the Baltics. You let us know. You can get in touch with us anytime you wish. You can tweet us at Richie Firth. That's me. You can tweet him at producer Chris. You can email us travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com or pay and become a Patreon. Patreon.com/travelhacker. Bespoke extra podcast with that one to drop very soon of 15 minutes of atmosphere of the trains passing Chris's house.
Tired Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.